I wasn't planning to say much today because I'm traveling right after the Mass, but the packing went much more quickly than I expected, so I had some time, and I have a few thoughts I just want to share. First of all, I was very happy to see the picture of Father Francis still here in front of the altar, as if we're continuing our celebration in honor of his death anniversary. And it seems like a fitting thing to have a sense of continuation, because on the Feast of the Angels, angels are the ones who guard us, who protect us on the journey. And so if we're not going anywhere, we don't need a guide. But if we're going to be on the journey, if we're going to be pilgrims of hope, well, we have to rely on the help that God gives us, the angels, and we rely on the intercession of Father Francis as well. He was certainly with us last night, and that was a beautiful celebration. But today we turn to the angels, we reflect on the angels. Now, angel, for people who believe in angels, this is a beautiful feast and a very welcome one, but not everyone does, or people don't always understand angels well, but we ourselves probably don't understand angels very well. But skeptics or critics will say, well, okay, maybe there's angels. You can rationally conclude, you can make a rational argument about the existence of God, but it's a little harder to make a rational argument to prove the existence of angels. You can't scientifically prove them, whereas you can logically prove God because things exist and have to come from somewhere. But angels is a little bit harder to establish. Of course, there's plenty of evidence in the Bible, and there's plenty of what we might call anecdotal evidence. I mean, there's so many people who have experience of angels, perhaps us in the room have experience of angels. So, but it's actually a mystery of faith, but which we accept. But then if we get to the question of angels, or we accept the existence of angels, then the question is, well, what do they do? And you can imagine someone saying, okay, maybe there are these exalted spirit, powerful beings, but would they really take care of us? Would they really be that concerned about making sure we don't trip over a stone? That's the scripture, right? He will send his angels to protect you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. What I remembered is when I arrived in New Jersey a couple of weeks ago, I stubbed my toe really badly, and it turned black. And I said, oh no, that thing's broken. I thought I broke my toe. And my favorite ER doctor had moved out of town, so I couldn't ask him. So I texted my brother, who's also a doctor, and I said, what about this? And it was black. The whole toe was black, and it was painful. And he said, give it a couple of days. That was it. Like, give it a couple of days, see what happens. If it's painful after 2 or 3 days, then you might have a break. But you can't really treat a toe anyway. So, I mean, he was pretty much, he dismissed it. So anyway, as it turned out, it healed fine. And maybe it healed. Maybe it wasn't broken because my guardian angel protected me. I don't know. That's it. We don't know what angels do. Most of the time, we don't have any awareness of them at all. But the skeptic would say, come on, don't angels have anything better to do than protecting our toes? I mean, come on. Well, it's a good question to ponder. Do the angels have anything better to do? Yes and no. Yes, they do, because the best thing to do is worship God, to look upon the face of God. And that's what this gospel says. The angels of the little ones always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. Well, that's what angels do. They're always focused on God. And what could be better than worshiping God? And that's what we'll be doing in heaven, and that's what we should be doing now. But, the angels don't have anything better to do than to worship God. But God is the one who assigns them to us. God is the one who tells them, guard, protect, guide these my little children. And so they do it. This is the great thing about today's feast. We're reminded that this is what our guardian angels do. Other angels do lots of other things that we don't know, but we at least know our guardian angels, they are assigned to us for our spiritual protection. They don't prevent every stubbing of every toe, but they always intervene as far as they can to guide us into eternal life. And we don't have any sense of it most of the time. And we don't know what they're doing most of the time. Usually we don't notice them at all. So that's why this is a great feast. It reminds us of something that's always true. I said at the beginning, it's a great day to travel because I can rely on my guardian angel. Well, every day, I mean, the angel never stops doing his job. So every day is a great day to travel in that sense. Every day is a great day to do the will of God. And our angel is always with us. So I said, we don't notice it. And that we don't know who's behind a lot of things that happen. I told some people this yesterday. Yesterday afternoon, I got a notice from the airline. I got bumped up to first class on my trip to Chicago today. I've had two flights of Chicago and then St. Paul, Minneapolis. So the trip to Chicago, I got bumped up to first class. It just came out of the blue. I said, oh, probably Father Francis did that. it was October 1st. I said, we're honoring Father Francis. And he said, all right. But on the other hand, I'm going to be traveling today. It's October 2nd. And maybe it was my guardian angel. Maybe it was both of them. I don't know. I mean, this is it. This feast opens us to the mystery of what God is doing and what he does through his intermediaries, angels and saints, which we don't know. Okay, so I'm going to fly first class to Chicago. But as we know, and I've had plenty of experience of this, flights can be canceled, flights can be delayed, and that happens. Does that mean that God is not watching over us when a flight gets canceled? No. We can't think that God is, or our angel is doing something good only when we think it's good. And when something goes wrong, he failed. No, that's the wrong way of understanding the angels and God. No, our angels are with us whether we stub our toe or we don't, or whether we fly first class or are canceled altogether. So you see, we don't measure it based on what we think should happen. That's inserts our will to it. And the angels don't do our will. They do God's will. It's true we can ask our angels to do things. Padre Pio is a famous example of this. He would ask his guardian angel to help people. And it happened. And so it's evidence from the lives of the saints that we can ask angels to do things, but they only do the will of God. So then we become participants in the will of God if our angel helps someone else. And this is the way God loves to work. He loves to involve everybody in the building up of his kingdom. Sure, he could do everything himself, but he loves to share. So that's what strikes me today. And the angels are teaching us to participate, to go along with it, to say yes to the will of God in every circumstance, in every situation, whatever class we might be flying in. So that's that. Now, I want to share one other thing that's related to this first reading. It came to my mind. This first reading, which is not the one chosen for the angels, but for the day, Thursday. It's this passage from Nehemiah where the book of the law has been found, and now it's read to the people, and they are deeply moved by it. They are moved to tears, but they also are rejoicing. It was a great event to have the law of God. And what this reminded me of is what happened to me a couple of days ago. I was out walking in the Fallbrook Park there. Beautiful day. We had beautiful weather in my time here. Anyways, a beautiful afternoon. I was walking along, and I saw a little something shining on the path there. But I was walking pretty fast, and I passed it. So I said, well, I'll go around, and I hope if I remember, I'll see it again. I saw it. It's a little medallion. I've never seen anything quite like it. And it's got very small writing on it. You have to face a holy God on Judgment Day. No. I can't read it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I should have got my reading glasses. But anyway, it's a proclamation of call to conversion, right? A bunch of scripture passages, a cross, but very small writing. And then on the other side, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, if you can read them. But so certainly, I said, well, gosh, I found this thing. I thought it was kind of neat. Yeah. And, you know, it's a little, I assume somebody deliberately put that on the path. Maybe somebody dropped it, but I bet some evangelical person who wants someone to find the law of God, you know, put that there. I don't know, but I'm the one who found it. So I said, well, I should be like these people in the book, in the reading from Nehemiah. I should be receiving this thing, this gift. And I did. I picked it up and I've been carrying it around. Well, now I don't know what to do with it. But I think the point is, when God reveals his word to us, when he shares his law with us, when he gives us a call to repentance or a concern about judgment day or whatever it is, we should welcome it. Because that's how God is speaking to us. Maybe I'm supposed to give this to someone. Maybe one of you wants it. I don't know. But it's a nice little thing. It's kind of like the little tracts that the people used to pass out. You know, it's like a tract, but it's a little bit more attractive. So anyway, it's something like this first reading, Nehemiah. And the point being, when the Lord gives us a gift, we should rejoice. We should welcome it and rejoice. That's what angels do. And that's what they want us to do. Angels are very joyful because of God. The reason for joy is God. The reason for hope is God. The reason for doing anything is God. And that's what our angels want to remind us of. And they do the work of helping us along this path. Thanks be to God.